There's that famous line at the beginning of Anna Karenina, where Tolstoy says that happy families are all alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. And then he proceeds to write a novel of hundreds of pages about some very, very unhappy families, focusing on the particulars of why they were unhappy. The implication seems to be that the things that people have in common when they're happy are not really of interest. What's of interest is the particulars of our own suffering, other people's suffering. And from the Buddhist point of view, he's got it backwards. Think about the Buddha on the night of his awakening. His first knowledge was of his previous lifetimes. A lot of particulars. Where he was born, what he was, what he looked like, what kind of being he was, what he ate, his pleasures and pains, and how he died. But he realized that that was not the solution to his problem, getting into the particulars. He was curious about why was it that what he had been had changed so much. Was there a pattern? Then on the second watch of the night, he expanded his mind. He got out of himself and started looking at all beings. He found out what we had in common is that we all have karma. Now, the workings of karma can be very complex, but that is what determines where we go, what we are, and what we become. So he realized the big issue was action. That is something we all have in common. So that when, in the third watch of the night, he expressed the knowledge he gained, not in terms of I did this or I did that, but simply, this is suffering. This is the origination of suffering. This is the cessation of suffering. This is the path leading to the cessation of suffering. These are the duties that have to be done with regard to those Four Noble Truths. He'd been able to get out of himself. Then he came back and he saw himself in terms of what we have in common. That was what it enabled him to see. He depersonalized the issue of suffering. And that way he was able to get a handle on it. This is a theme that we see throughout the practice. Here we are focusing on our own breath. But stop and think about it. Everybody else has a breath just like yours. There may be slight variations. But the Buddha said, when you're practicing mindfulness, practice both on being aware of the body internally, but also externally. Being aware of feelings internally and externally. Being aware of the mind, mental qualities, internally and externally. Now, if you interpret mindfulness simply as being awareness, that sounds very strange. Are you supposed to sit next to somebody else and hear them breathe? How are you going to feel their feelings? How are you going to be aware of their mind states? But when you remember, mindfulness is a faculty of the memory, something you keep in mind. Then you can see what the Buddha is getting at. You focus on issues in your own feelings, issues in your own mind, issues in your own body. And you stop to think, this is the way it is with everybody. Everybody has a breath. Everybody has feelings of pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. And all the various mind states that you can be mindful of, skillful and unskillful. Everybody else has those too. This is a good way of getting yourself out of yourself. Because when things go down, particularly, when the mind turns into a whirlpool, and it keeps going around and around and around on certain themes. As it goes around, it just gets pulled down. It's because you've restricted your awareness just to what's in your mind. But if you can lasso out grab hold of something outside, you begin to realize, okay, what you're experiencing is not just you. You're not the only one who suffers in the world. Lots of other people are suffering, sometimes a lot worse than you. And the proper response to that is, one, compassion. You realize, well, it really does hurt. Other people really hurt too. And the next is Sangvega. Is this the all we have? And then the Buddha offers Basara, confidence. Well, there is a way out. Learn how to look at your events in the mind. This is why we practice concentration, just being with intentions and attention and just the raw material of what we use to put together things in the mind. And you can look at them from a more impersonal standpoint, a much larger standpoint, and that gets you out of them. Because as the Buddha said, the essence of discernment is seeing things as separate. An important part of seeing them as separate is seeing them as separate from you. In other words, there are these events in the mind, but you don't have to identify with them. You can study them from an outside perspective. So it's important as we meditate that we don't just think about ourselves. We also think about others. You see this pattern again and again in the Buddhist teachings. The five reflections that we have as a common chant. I'm subject to aging, subject to illness, subject to death. Separation from all this dear and appealing to me. I'm the owner of my actions. The Buddha says you reflect in that way, gives you motivation to become more and more skillful in what you do. But he doesn't leave the reflection there. He has you reflect, not only me, but also all beings, and everywhere, every level of the cosmos, are subject to aging, illness, death, separation. And they have their karma. Think about that. Everybody, no matter what, from hell beings all the way up to the levels of heaven. There's nobody in charge. There's nobody who lies above the laws of karma, who is in the universe. The only ones who are free are the arahants. Everybody else is trapped. And so you think about the particulars of your situation. And you realize that they're not that much different from anybody else's. This is why the emphasis on what makes us different is so opposed to the principles of the Dharma. The principles of the Dharma are what we have in common, the fact that we're all suffering. And the suffering comes from the same sorts of things, and the path to the end of suffering comes from the same sorts of things. So we don't focus so much on the particulars of our own suffering, but look for the common pattern. That way, when we get out of ourselves, we can get a better perspective on what really needs to be done, what can be done. And it takes a lot of sting out of our own suffering, too. Because one of the hardest parts about suffering is the sense that, why is this happening to me? It's not happening to anybody else. Why am I the one that the universe seems to be dumping on? But then you stop and reflect. You're not the only one. There was a case where King Vasenadeva was having an audience with the Buddha, and one of his courtiers came up and whispered in his ear that his favorite queen, Malika, had died. And he just broke down and cried. And the Buddha said to him, when has it ever been that someone who's been born doesn't age, doesn't grow ill, doesn't die? This happens to everybody. You would think the grief of one person dying would not be helped by thinking all the other people have been dying. But the mathematics of the mind doesn't work that way. The heaviest sufferings are the ones where you feel that you're the only one who's suffering in this way. And it helps get you out when you realize, okay, other people are suffering this way too. Other beings are suffering, sometimes worse. A lot of them are suffering worse. That lightens things. Okay, the universe isn't dumping on you particularly. You're just experiencing something that we all have in common. That helps pull you out of the whirlpool. Because our thoughts, when they get into whirlpools like that, they just go around and around and around. Thought leads to A, A leads to B, leads to C, leads to D, then leads back to A, and it just goes back and forth like this. But when you start thinking about other people, get out of yourself, it cuts the cycle. And then the Buddha throws you a lifeline so you can pull yourself out. So it's good to think in these terms. Get out of yourself every now and then. This is one of the reasons why we have thoughts of goodwill, thoughts of compassion, thoughts of empathetic joy, thoughts of equanimity as a daily practice. Because we can just chant the words to the point where it doesn't mean anything. But stop and think. There are a lot of beings out there that are suffering right now. In fact, everybody but the Arahants is suffering in one way or another. That calls for compassion. This is a world of suffering people. Some people wear their suffering on their sleeves. Other people hide it. But it's there. Some people are very much aware of how they're suffering. Other people are not so much aware. But we all have this in common. And this is the genius of the Buddha, was to see what we all have in common by looking into his own mind, but also referring to the fact that, okay, everybody else has the same sorts of things. Think about his teaching on the five aggregates. It's not just that they're your aggregates are in constant stressful and not self. Everybody's, no matter where. They're not worth holding on to self as yours. You could go anywhere. You could be born as a Deva. You could be born as a Brahma. But that's all they have, is these aggregates. And they're just as unstable. The Brahmas get to stay around a little bit longer, quite a bit longer, but still, it's not stable. It's going to fall apart someday. And sometimes the beings that are very high are going to fall very far, very hard. So we're all in this together. And it's good to keep that in mind. This is why the Buddha says you are mindful of the body internally and externally, feelings internally and externally, mind internally and externally. Helps you give a perspective on your sufferings. So instead of focusing on the particulars, you can focus on what we all have in common. And that, the Buddha said, is where the work can be done. That's how we get out. Because all those who finally gain release, they all go to the same thing, total release. It's not the case that the Buddha had a special release and the Arahants had a different release. The Arahants had their particular talents. The Buddha, of course, had his talents. But when it came to release, everybody was equal. Everybody was the same. It's because they saw the pattern in the mind that's the same for everybody. This is how suffering happens. This is what suffering is. It's clinging to the aggregates. The cause is the three kinds of craving. The cessation is getting dispassion for those three kinds of craving, and you do that by developing the path, and the same path for everybody. So when you start looking for what we have in common, that's how you find the way out. You stay stuck on the particulars, it might make an interesting novel. But we're here for more than fiction. We're here for the truth. And the best truth is the truth that sets us free.